Welcome to Marriage and Money, a conversational podcast about personal financial topics aimed at improving conversations about money in your marriage so you can reach your dreams together. This is a weekly discussion brought to you by a seemingly financially incompatible couple bonded by the legal contract of marriage. My name is David, your favorite saver, and I'm joined by the spender who's the catalyst for all of my change, Heather.
That sounds better than what reality is, because basically what happens is I force you to change a lot, which you're not really a big fan of. But saying that I'm your catalyst of change sounds a lot better than what you really think.
Well, you're not wrong that you are the reason. You kind of push us into these directions that we end up in. And sometimes it's good. Sometimes it works out well. So I can't always complain about it. Anyway, I appreciate you being there for me, and I appreciate you, dear listener, for tuning in this week, because we have a great show planned for you today. Today, we are going to be talking about financial transitions and that scary word, change.
Ooh. Ugh.
Wow.
Insert some scary music right there.
Dun, dun, dun. Right. Yes. Oh, gosh. Well, change is tough, and transitions are hard. Are they not?
Exactly. So why we're talking about this is, for those of you that have listened to us for any point in time, you know that we started this when we took I took a job opportunity expat assignment in Singapore. So we've actually been in Singapore the last over 2 years, and it was time for us to come home. So we came back to the U.S. just a couple weeks ago. So we went through kind of a major, I'd say kind of, definitely a major transition
huge,
in our life.
Huge
which
transition.
Had a financial impact. So we thought, it's kind of top of mind. Maybe we should share a little bit if we learned anything. Hopefully we learned some good things out of it.
I'm always learning things.
I could share with the rest of the world.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. And yeah, we experienced a transition just recently, but odds are you definitely have experienced a transition in your life. Everyone has experienced a transition. Now, the degree of transition that people have may be different, but everybody's experienced transition in their
life. Right. And as we talked about, money touches everything in life. So if you're having a transition, maybe has the primary impact of that transition isn't money focused, but it is going to have a financial impact. So odds are there's going to be some sort of financial component related to that transition that you're going through.
And while we have plenty of life experience going through this, we are not professionals when it comes to financial transitions and financial change. There are actually certified professionals that deal with this kind of thing. They're called CEFTs. There's an actual certification around dealing with financial transitions like this. And that's not us, but I feel like we have some wisdom to share.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I never knew that. It's something for me to look into for a future career. Just kidding. But we're just going to share with you from our life experience. Hopefully, you know, that's helpful to people by sharing kind of what we've been through and what we've learned. Because transitions are super stressful. Even if you're someone who like thrives in chaos and change, that doesn't mean it's not stressful. So it's going to be a stressful time for you and your spouse. And we just want to make sure that you're prepared,
whether
you enjoy that or not.
This move is stressful. And we had a relatively simple move here back to the U.S. because we still had our house here. We still had most of our stuff was here. We had it about as smooth as it can be. And even when things are all lined up, it's stressful because you're changing, or in this case, we were changing. I was changing jobs. We were changing, obviously, location. We are saying goodbye to friends at one location, saying hello to family and friends here. We're getting things ramped back up at our house. We're having to set everything up. We're having to shut down financial accounts and cash setups in Singapore. Like
sell everything we own.
Sell everything. It was just like the list went on and on. And that all is stressful, like you said. And it's hard to imagine, like it. Yeah, you know it's going to be stressful, but at the same time, it's not something I feel like I was necessarily prepared for either. It's hard to prepare properly for that.
Right, and really, I think even if you are prepared, like, a lot of stuff just has to happen. Like, think about on your wedding day, right? You spend months planning and organizing, but then, like, everything goes down at that day, right? And so even if you, hopefully, the more you plan, the easier that happens, but it still is stressful when everything is happening. You know, like, we had tons of planning, but there were certain things you couldn't do until literally, like,
the day of.
The couple days before we were physically leaving, right? And so it, like, all piles up and just creates a lot of stress.
Yeah, there's some chaos. And so I think that's an important thing to remember, that when you're going through change is and transitions, is that no matter what, no matter how well you plan, no matter how what you do, to a certain degree, there's going to be that chaos. There's going to be that pain in the change. And even though you're well prepared, that's unavoidable to an extent. And so don't beat yourself up and say, oh my gosh, I should have done this, I should have done that. Well, maybe, but also it's possible, one, you had no way of knowing until you came into that moment, or two, you couldn't do anything about it until that very moment right then that you're recognizing the issue. So anyway, just give yourself a little slack. So I think there are a few different types of transitions, and I haven't experienced every type of transition, obviously, but there are some common types of transitions that happen, and I think it would be good just to mention a few of these, just to give some examples of what are we talking about when we say financial transitions.
Right, like I think you guys get the idea of what we're talking about, but just to clarify, in case you're clueless as to what we're talking about. Yeah, we're talking about transition. Again, these are transitions in life that are going to have a financial impact. So getting married.
That's a big one.
Or the opposite of that, getting divorced.
Aww.
Hopefully that's not your situation. Or if you're getting married, potentially you're blending families. Maybe it's a second marriage and both of you are bringing kids and or grants or whatever into the family. Another physical, personal thing is having a baby. Maybe you're adding to your family. Maybe you don't have any kids and you're having your first kid or you're having your fifth kid.
Yeah, these can be happy things, right? Marriage is happy. Getting having a baby is happy. Like, transitions can be happy, but they're big and they have a financial impact.
Right. Or even like a job change. That, again, that could be a good thing or a bad thing depending on the situation, but that has a big financial impact. Or job change, positive, retiring. Maybe it's time for you to retire and stop working, which is awesome, but again, a big transition in life.
Yeah, moving like we were just talking about, that's a huge transition. Or if you have kids, those kids going off to college, transitioning to becoming an empty nester, that is a big change. That could be a positive financial change, though, as maybe you're no longer shelling out the cash that you once were for that that child, assuming you've booted them off the payroll, which may or may not have happened, but. Yeah, that could be a good thing. Or you might hit a medical situation, right? So medical surprises are always there. Even if you're insured, medical situations have a financial impact, a time impact, which has a financial impact. Those impact all areas of your life. Or even the death of a spouse or a loved one certainly has a big impact on your life and finances. So I don't know. That's a lot of different items. By my count, we mentioned 10 different items, and I think I've gone through 6 of them. So there's a lot of change in life, and I'm sure many of you listening could say, oh, no, I've actually hit every single one of those.
And maybe multiple times.
Maybe multiple times, exactly.
I know I've changed jobs a few times. I've moved a few times.
Right.
So even if you haven't done all of them, maybe you've done some of these, you know, several times. So I think you get an idea about what we're talking about for transitions. So again, to dig in a little bit deeper, to talk about, okay, so why are we talking about transitions? What is it about transitions? Well, a couple facts to talk about transitions. Number one, as we mentioned, they usually cost money.
Yeah,
or
they
maybe
do.
They even have a positive impact. But if you're going through any of those things that we listed, there is a financial impact.
Yeah, even if there's a positive impact at the end of the day, usually there's an initial upfront cost where you have to shell out some money for a move, or you have to shell out some money to if you're getting a new job, you may have a period of time where you're not working that costs you some money for a period of time. So like even positive situations can cost you money up front.
Right. And another fact about them, as we've mentioned already, is that they are stressful. Again, you may love, like myself, love change and or maybe you thrive in chaos. So it's positive, but it is still stressful. Like this is stressful. There's a big thing happening in your life. It's impacting your probably your family, your spouse. And so it does cause stress.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know. I'm not one that's a fan of stress. And so I think that's the main reason why I tend to resist change, because I'm not a guy that loves stress, generally speaking.
Yeah.
I love excitement. Like I love the excitement of change. I don't like the stress of change. And so how do I get that excitement maybe without the stress? I don't know. There's no magic formula for that, but that would be my ideal.
And even if you know it's coming and it's planned, like we always knew, like the Singapore thing was never forever. We always knew we would be moving back to the U.S. So that wasn't a surprise.
No.
And the timing was a little different than expected, but it wasn't like it was an emergency or anything, right? So, I mean, even though we knew this was coming and, you know, like you said, there wasn't a lot. I mean, it was probably as easy as possible. It still was stressful, right? There was still a lot to do. It still created a lot of stress for us.
Yeah, and I think it's stressful because there's so much uncertainty involved in change, because you're thinking, oh, well, I've got to take care of this item or that item, and I don't know how that's going to end up, or what are the new habits that I need to get into or I need to do, or you know, how are things going to, how am I going to be able to reconnect with family, and how are my relationships with my friends going to be the same or different now that I'm back? Or there's so much uncertainty, and I think it's that living in uncertainty, at least for me, that causes that stress. I don't know. What do you think, Heather? Where do you think that stress comes from for you?
Yeah, no, I would agree. Well, it's uncertainty, and it's also like there's a lot of things you can't control. Or like we said, like we know it's coming, but like we can't deal with it right away. And so it's kind of out there looming. Like it's like, I'm going to eventually have to do this. Like, one example, we're just changing our cell phone plans now that we're back in the U.S., right? It's like we knew that was coming, but we couldn't do it while we were in Singapore, right? So now that we're back here, right, we're dealing with it. And so and it's not gone easy and it's been stressful, right? So there's a lot of things that.
Yeah, and it's something dumb. Like, and that's something where you never think changing your cell phone, oh, you just get a new cell phone. But yeah, it just ended up being way harder than we thought it was going to be.
Right. So even if you know it's coming, like you can't control all of the factors and things just end up sometimes being harder than you think.
Yeah. And so when you encounter situations like this, you know, and I think we can learn from this as much as anyone, is that the first thing you need to do is just pause. And I know we talked about this. This pause moment as well, we were talking about how to deal with emergencies. And I think it's valuable here as well with financial transitions, because financial transitions are almost like a mini emergency in that there's chaos. So typically with emergencies, there's some chaos. And typically with financial transitions, there's some chaos. And so when you're encountering that chaos, I just recommend taking a pause, giving it some thought, like approach your situation with some thought and some caution, and just say, okay, what's my situation? How do I need to look at this problem? Where do I want to go from here? And just give yourself permission to take some time to think it through.
Yeah, I think that's good, really good advice. I mean, and even if it's a positive thing, like even if it's like, hey, you got this new job offer and you're super pumped about it, it's like, or you found out you're pregnant and you're going to have a baby, it's like, just take a minute to really be in that moment and like, okay, this is happening, and soak it in and really, like you said, drive home like what is really happening versus just jumping right away to action or stress or chaos.
And especially if it's a good thing, yeah, soak in that good moment. And before you get into an action mode, enjoy that good before the chaos hits.
Exactly, because there will be chaos even if it's good.
Yeah.
So I think next, after you've paused and thought about it, is one thing to ask yourself is this an emergency? Like David said, there's some thing transitions that are emergency, like when someone dies, or if it's a medical thing, you know, that becomes urgent in an emergency and all of a sudden you're on a timeline. But there's other situations like having a baby that takes 9 months, or, you know,
still incredibly important.
Right. And I think that's a key difference, right, is just that doesn't mean anything isn't important. All of these transitions are important, but are they urgent? And understanding the difference.
That's an important distinction because, yeah, we can get into a mode where maybe we generate a false sense of urgency that creates more panic and more chaos, when maybe we should slow down and say, okay, yes, this is important, but is it as urgent as, is it urgent in a way where I need to be running around like a chicken with my head cut off and just going crazy? No, probably not. Maybe I need to slow down and work through this in a more calm manner. Yeah, I think that's a really good call out. And so once you've understood, once you've taken that moment to pause, once you've asked yourself, is this an emergency or not, or can I take this in a organized manner, then you need to just assess what exactly has changed with your situation. That'll help you determine where it is that you need to start. So, like, if you're having a baby, maybe that means that you're going to now have daycare costs, and now you have to make a decision between do we pay those daycare costs, or do we end up saying, no, actually, we're going to have one of the spouses stay at home to take care of the kids. Maybe that's a better financial decision. But you need to say, okay, what are the real changes that are happening as a result of this transition? And let's have a discussion around that.
Exactly. So, like, on our most recent one, right, it was like, okay, we're moving back to the U.S. It was like, okay, what really has to happen, right? Okay, we know we got to get rid of stuff. We had to figure out what stuff is staying in Singapore and getting rid of, what stuff is coming home. You know, we had to think about all the stuff we had to get set up here. And so, like, once you evaluate your situation, now you can, like, start, you know, figuring out what are the decisions and things that you need to do next.
And we were able to deprioritize other things. Like, we have a broken shade, and yes, it's bugging me that shade's broken, but is that the most urgent thing? Is that what we need to deal with right now? Or should we be dealing with the fact that we don't have trash service yet and we need to get trash taken care of? And what do we do with our trash in the meantime? And okay, so thankfully the trash pickup is happening tomorrow and then we're going to be done with that finally. but yes, you know, there are certain things that become more urgent. It's about that urgency that we were talking about earlier.
Right, which is actually what you do next, right? So once you understand your situation, it's then building a plan. And so, like, yeah, all that stuff has to get done. Yes, we need to fix the shade. But to David's point, it's like, okay, that goes on the plan, but it's not the priority right now. The priority was getting the trash set up, getting our cell phone situated, you know, taken over, unpacking, receiving our shipment, unpacking our stuff.
Getting settled into our jobs.
Right.
All of those things are more important right now. Yes, exactly.
Right. So, but build those steps, right? So think about, you've taken a minute, you've assessed the situation, you know what's changing. And so build that plan. Like, we talk about planning a lot, right? I mean, that really sets you up for success. The more you can plan and really understand, I know you're not going to maybe figure out everything that absolutely needs to happen, but it's really helpful to put that checklist together of all the different things that you need to think about. And maybe it's, hey, I thought about it and it's no, right? But at least, like, kind of going through that mental checklist of, does insurance change? Like, yeah, I mean, is there anybody else we need to notify? You know, do I have to add a beneficiary? Like, there's so many different financial things to think about to your situation.
And our plans haven't always worked out. You said it's important to build a plan, and it is, but you also need to be flexible with that plan, because as you go through, you're going to learn, you're going to figure out what's actually happening in your new situation. And like we were saying, we thought, oh, well, yeah, we'll just take a day and we'll get our phones changed over, and that's not a big deal. And then it ended up being a whole thing. And so we had to continue that as a higher priority of getting these phones changed over. And it was just, yeah, plans have to be adaptive. And yeah, that's a small example, but.
And I think it's also understanding who's doing what. So, like, a lot of this, you know, we each had, you know, hopefully one spouse isn't doing everything. So, like, for example, we both had to change our medical insurance because we were now back in domestic. And so we each have our own insurance through our employer. You know, maybe it, you know, David had to change. He was able to start contributing to his 401k again. And We also had to relook at our budget. It's like, okay, we no longer are living in Singapore and having two homes. It's like, we're now down to one home living in the US. We have different incomes that have changed. What are our expenses? And so really looking at that and dividing out to say, okay, who's going to do what on this task list?
And I think it's good you brought up the budget piece, because you're right. Anytime you have a change, odds are there's an impact to your budget, because there's an impact to your finances, but there may be a longer term impact to your budget than just the immediate transition. You need to take a moment and identify, what are the long term changes that have to happen now to my budget as a result of this transition?
Yeah, not even just your budget, but maybe your investments and your investment strategy going forward, it could also impact.
Right. And that's when it might be good to consult with your financial advisor, if you have a financial advisor. Or maybe even, you know, you might need to talk to a lawyer if this transition has to do with maybe an inheritance or something along those lines. You may want to just seek out expert opinion. Or we mentioned financial transition specialists, certified transition specialists. So like there are people that you can reach out to if you're going through these changes and you need some of that professional assistance.
So we talked about the importance of preparation and planning. So we want to give you some tips on how you should think about and prepare for any future transitions. So one thing that we found is super helpful is having cash on hand.
Oh, well, duh. I'm sure everybody's like, oh, so you mean cash helps in life?
Yes. Yeah, so just go to the ATM, you know, have it spit out.
It's just that easy. Just have the ATM spit out a few $1,000s in cash and everything's good, right?
No, I know that sounds silly, but cash is totally king. Like, there's some situations where it's really helpful to have cash on hand. I think we shared our story of when we first started in Singapore and we had to pay our utility bill and we had no way to pay it. We didn't have a bank card yet. We didn't have a phone. We couldn't do it. And so we literally paid cash. So
paid cash in the 7-Eleven.
Physical cash on hand can come in handy.
Yeah, that's saved our butt a couple times. And yeah, and so I know that's, it might seem insurmountable right now for you, but it is important. We talked about the importance of having an emergency fund. There's an importance of having, if you know a transition is coming, the importance of setting some money aside to support that transition is really important. And that's an essential part of just having your overall financial life in order. The more organized you are with your finances, the more you know where things are, how your finances are flowing, the better off you're going to be and the better you're going to weather these transitions.
Yeah. And I mean, that was real for us just recently, because, we would get money to help pay for a lot of our living expenses in Singapore, but that last month, it would always come the month before and then we'd have the bills hit. Well, that last month, the bills hit, we didn't get that. And so all of a sudden we had a lot of money going out, and it wasn't that we didn't get it in the previously, but that money had put away for saving, which came in handy because we still had to pay those bills. We had a lot of expenses that hit and not as much income. And so it was helpful that we had our financial life in order. We had cash available for use at that. So it wasn't an emergency. We didn't have to go into debt. Like, we were prepared for those surprises.
That's right. Yeah. So by having that cash, by having a little bit of room in your financial life, you're able to adjust as needed. And so I think it's really important to be able to pivot as needed when you have to make these types of adjustments. Give yourself flexibility. That's really what this is about.
Yeah. And that's why, like, it's really important. We talk a lot about, like, having a budget and not like using all your money. Like, if you're just spending every dime towards debt payments and mortgage, and at the end of the month, there's nothing left, you're not leaving any margin for yourself for these pivots, because there will be these places in life. So it's nice to have room and to have that margin to be able to help when you do need to change and pivot.
But now, how much room would you say you need for that? So, like, if you're aggressively paying down your mortgage, Heather, are you going to say, well, yeah, pay down your mortgage except for you keep 5%, keep 10% to the side? I would say you need to have some cash on the side, but like, I don't want to, I wouldn't want to tell people, oh, you need to have, in a beyond your emergency fund, you need to have another another 3 months of, or 6 months saved up, two emergency funds.
No,
or anything
I agree.
Like that.
I mean, I think it is really the emergency fund. And then, you know, it's nice to have savings on top of that, right? That hopefully are saving for things, big things.
Sure, sure.
So, and then always important is to maintain a positive mindset. So look for the good in the change, even if it's small. So as we mentioned, I love change. David's not a big fan, but I mean, he eventually sees, hey, there's some good things that are coming out of it. And focusing and trying to stay positive can really help drive so that you're able to get through it.
Buckle down, get through it. Yeah, no, if you're not looking at the positive side, then everything is terrible. Your life is just going to be sadness. So always look on the bright side of life, as Monty Python said. So it's very important. And like everything we talk about, you need to make sure that you're communicating with your spouse as you're going through these transitions. Talk through what you're thinking, what you're feeling as you're going through this. Talk about how do you want to plan through this? How do you see yourself overcoming this transition together? Be sure that you're not making any other additional changes as well. You know, you don't want these sudden changes to happen without involvement from your spouse.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is super helpful because I'm just like an external processor. So I'm grateful that I have you to be able to talk through and bounce things off of and share what's on my mind. But whether you're an external processor or not, like you and your spouse need to be communicating. And you probably need to be communicating more when you're going through something like this because there's so much going on and so many surprises and so many changes. So definitely up the communication when you're going through this. And then the last piece of advice we would say is, we would suggest not making other large financial moves during a transition. So you're already dealing with enough things with the transition and there's expenses coming up. So don't, you know, pile onto that stress with deciding to make a big purchase or a big financial change.
So say you were moving back from Singapore and then you were going to maybe buy a new boat. Would that fall under this that you're telling people not to do, Heather?
Which is why it's very stressful right now. So I would not suggest adding.
So Heather's been pushing us to buy a boat and she's like, oh, you know, I know we've only been back for 2 weeks, but I think we should buy a boat right now. So is this more of a do what I say and not what I do
right,
situation,
I'm
Heather?
This is how I'm learning from my experiences and trying to tell other people to do that.
I'm just trying to be real with our listeners and let them know that you and I have had some discussions about this approach.
Right? What'd you say? It's added extra stress.
It has, and that's exactly why I've been saying maybe we shouldn't feel the pressure to do it right now. Maybe we shouldn't throw one more thing on the fire, but... Oh, it's interesting. It's always an interesting ride with you, Heather.
So we want you to continue this conversation with your spouse or significant other. So have a discussion about your last big transition and how it impacted your finances. Have a debrief and discuss what went well and what you could have done better. So, David.
Heather.
I mean, we've talked a lot about the Singapore example, but what do you think has been a financial transition that went well for us? And maybe one that did not go so well.
Oh, good question. I think a financial transition that went well for us was, just because we're doing this move situation, I think when we moved to California, I thought...
Oh my, here it comes.
What? I thought that was a good...
I know. You just always say, like, California was amazing.
It was amazing. It was... It was seriously the best 4 years of my life. It was so good. It was so good. It was, I don't know, we downsized the house. We went from probably too big a house to a house that was probably just the perfect size for us. We were renting, so we didn't have responsibilities there. And I don't know, we were just kind of, it felt like we were just kind of wild and free out there, living our best life. And so it was a pretty smooth move. I mean, once we got there, so it was kind of the departure, getting there, moving all of our stuff there was a little bit painful, but landing once the truck showed up, it was pretty smooth. I don't know. I liked it.
I remember you weren't there with the truck, so no wonder
point.
It was smooth. You showed up, the house was like decorated.
That was great. It was super smooth.
My mom came out, helped me. It was awesome. Anyway,
transition that didn't go so smooth. You might disagree. I would pretty much say every home purchase we've done.
Oh, interesting.
Like, because it always feels like there have been surprises with every purchase. I don't know, unexpected expenses, repairs, maintenance items we didn't anticipate. I'm thinking about, like, we had a water heater kind of blow up on us and make a mess everywhere, and that was stressful. There, at our previous house, I underestimated the amount of landscaping and yard work that needed to be done, the garden stuff. It was like, I was not anticipating it was going to be that much work and that time consuming. And it was just added stress and added stuff that I don't know, that maybe that wasn't so much financial as it was just expectation, but not a great, I don't know. The initial transitions were hard with those moves. How about for yourself? What do you think?
So I was focused really on the financial impact of these transitions for my answer. So I went way back in the archives for a really good transition, and that was when we got married.
That is a good one.
So, I mean, I think combining our assets and our income and our households, it was like, holy crap. I mean, that was a really positive change. And I mean, obviously the whole change itself was getting married, but like financially, it was like, holy cow, like what just happened? And, you know, we quickly got out of little debts that we had and built momentum. And anyway, it was just, it felt like a really positive financial.
It sure did.
On the not so good side, I was thinking about my last job change from my previous employer to this one, and I had to repay my employer for business school. And
yeah, that was bad.
I mean, while it was kind of worked into the agreement, and like it was overall, like in the long term, it's been very right decision financially and professionally for me. At the time of the change, I think that was pretty hard.
That's a good example.
Perspective.
Yeah, so that was a rough period.
I shouldn't have brought that back up. Now that you're like, oh,
yeah,
that's
a scar. That's a scar that I thought was healed, but now I'm realizing it was only scabbed over, and you're picking away at that scab.
You should have started with step zero before we.
Oh my goodness. Well, no, that was a good example, but I guess the point is that everyone experiences transitions a little bit differently, and they're all, they can be good and they can be bad, but they're always challenging. Either way, there's challenges involved. And so it's good to go in prepared and good to go in with a plan on how to address it. So I think that about wraps up our conversation for today. Remember, you can always email us at marriageandmoneypodcast@gmail.com or message us on Instagram at marriage.and.money. Thanks again for joining us this week. And remember that whether you're a spender or a saver, your best financial life lies somewhere in the middle.